I don't know how many of you remember or know that song, I have a river of life flowing out of me. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. You know, Jesus is the one who originally gives us that quote. In John 7, verse 38 and 39, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not been glorified. This morning is Pentecost Sunday, and we are celebrating that the Spirit has come. And you know, the sad part about that is when I look at my life, and I think, when people look at me, do they see that river flowing out of me? Because the Spirit is to be like a river of water flowing out of us, gushing forth as we change our world, because God lives in us. When you think about that, God lives in us now. Unbelievable. Let's rise and ask God to be in our presence and in our midst. Our Father, we celebrate today that you have come to live in our hearts, that we are living temples of yours. As we do that, we need your mercy, your grace, your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Take this opportunity to greet one another in the name of our risen Savior, knowing that the Spirit lives in us.
Men of faith, rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, women of the truth, stand and sing to broken hearts, who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west, Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We've been through fire, we've been through rain, we've been refined by the power of his name. We've fallen deeper in love with you, you've burned the truth on our lips. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west, Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, church, with broken wings, fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By his grace again we'll fly. Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth.
Let's continue to remember this Pentecost Sunday by joining together in this litany. I will read the first line and you'll reply in the bold. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit.
The Spirit draws us together into one body.
We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit.
In the Spirit, we are one with believers across the street and around the world.
We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit.
The Spirit empowers us to engage in one mission, locally and globally.
We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's continue to stand as we sing, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Hallelujah. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this king, because he gave his everything. Because he gave his everything. Because he gave his everything.
You can be seated, I think. I'm not in charge here. I have no clue what's going on. Just do what you normally do, okay? I hadn't looked up. See, when Brett nodded at me, I figured he told you all what to do, too. I'm traveling this morning with my English Standard Version Bible. Not because I'm pushing one version or the other. It was actually given to me by a man who felt I was getting way too liberal, so he'd try and get me away from the NIV. And I've enjoyed reading through it because when I'm so used to reading the NIV, when I see something that's a little different in here, it makes me go look up the Hebrew and the Greek and find out what the original actually says. So it's been good in that way. So it's just the easiest Bible I have to carry with me right now, so it's the one I have this morning. And for a confession and insurance, I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. You know, I read that, and it's a time of confession because God calls us to be holy as he is holy. How'd you do this week? I look at God as a very holy, perfect, and righteous God, and then I look at my life and go, oh, I don't think I live very well to that standard. And the really great thing about that is we serve such a forgiving God. He wipes our sins away. As Peter goes on to write, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You know, sometimes we get caught up in remembering what we have done wrong and how we've sinned. I know I do that a lot. I look back at my life and the people that I have wronged and the things I have done wrong, and I get to thinking, oh, you know, God really tells us don't do that. Because if you do that, you're making the blood of Jesus Christ less than it is. He has wiped our sins away because he loves us so much. He says, I don't see him anymore. You're my people. You're pure in my sight. Whatever you've done, I've paid for it. It's over with. Let's go to God in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are your people. And we know at times we do fail so miserably. We set ourselves up in your place. Forgive us for that, Lord. By the blood of your Son, we pray in his name. Amen. Scripture, the passage this morning is taken from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. But before I read that, I want to read just a couple of verses from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what we're celebrating this morning, is we're celebrating that coming of God to live in us. And I want to read for the message this morning a passage a couple of chapters later, out of chapter 4, verses 23 is where I'm going to begin. And the apostles had just been arrested. And when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." They continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The place where they were was shaken because the Spirit of God was there. I don't know about you, but I have difficulty speaking the word of God with boldness. It's been a great experience watching the international student who has lived with us for 2.5 years come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. It's a new experience for him, but what I see in him is he doesn't have that boldness either. I don't know if he's picked it up from me or what. I asked him the other day, I said, "Do your parents know that you're going to make profession of faith?" He said, "No." He said, "There's a lot of times when I've tried to tell them. I wanted to tell them. I wanted to share with them, but the words wouldn't come." I said, "Tony, you hold the greatest gift in your hands. You hold eternal life." Then I asked him, "Does your girlfriend know?" He has a girlfriend back in China. And he said, "Yes, she does. I called her up. I said to her, 'We may have a problem. I'm a Christian.'" He said, "It was so peaceful. You could feel the presence of God there as I talked to her about being a Christian." I thought, for an 18-year-old kid to have to make that choice of saying, "I am a Christian, and if my girlfriend can't handle that, we have to go our separate ways." I thought, that proves He's taking this very seriously. He's not just saying this because he lives in our household, because I know a lot of 18-year-olds who were brought up in the church who wouldn't be willing to make that choice. But he did. I have seen the Spirit work in that boy's life. And it's been a great experience. I don't know how many of you are aware, but all of the Old Testament feasts are a picture of what was to come in the kingdom of God. Pentecost is the feast of harvest. Coming out of the Old Testament, it's at the end of the Jewish feast year, Pentecost, the feast of harvest. What God was telling us in the Old Testament and what it points forward to in the New Testament is there is a harvest to come. I am going to bring people from all nations into my kingdom. Go out and gather them in. It's the feast of harvest. It started on that day in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples and allowed them to speak with boldness and to go out into the world and said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he can forgive you for your sins and give you eternal life. So today we're celebrating that harvest that began 2,000 years ago. We're celebrating that God sent his spirit to live in us. I really fear sometimes that our Reformed tradition has downplayed that wondrous gift that was given to us at Pentecost. Years ago, when they were putting together one of the Psalter hymnals, I'm not sure exactly which one it was. There were people who didn't want the hymn in there, I serve a risen Savior, because they had a problem with the line, you ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Because Reformed doctrine supposedly teaches us that the only way you know that there is a God is because you read it in his word. We're not into that touchy-feely, he lives within your heart. But you know what? I think if the Spirit doesn't live in your heart and tell you that God is real, you'll never know it. Tony had to take a test on Reformed doctrine. Here's this kid who came out of an atheistic society, and all of a sudden he has this semester test coming up on Reformed doctrine, and he was scared to death that he was going to fail it, because we have so much information that we start teaching our children from the time they're little, and he had to play catch up. So we were riding home from Pella last week, Friday, talking with Tony about his Reformed doctrine test. And I said, go ahead, ask me the question, see if you could stump me. Tony said, what are the four ways we know that the Word of God is true? Okay, he stumped me. But admit it, you were all stumped too, right? The four ways we know that the gospel is true is, number one, it tells us it's true. Number two, the prophecies were fulfilled. Number three, the indestructibility of the witness of the New Testament. Number four, archaeological finds. Tony's a very scientific kid. He reeled off those four, and I said, Tony, the first three are circular logic. He said, I know that. You know, how can something prove it's true by telling you it's true? We wouldn't accept that from the world, would we? I said, Tony, how do you know the Bible is true? The Spirit lives in my heart, he said. That's the only way that any one of you sitting here this morning knows that God is real, is because the Spirit lives in your heart. That's it. That's the only way. There is no other way. God has to tell us it's true. Paul says it's foolishness to the world. And it is. Unless God lives in you. And then you see the wisdom of it. After, I'm not sure this applies to the point I'm trying to make this morning, but I have to share this because after we talked about Reformed doctrine and he tried to stump me with questions and he was having a good time because he was getting it done. He said he'd been, a lot of the teachers from Pella Christian were coming down because he made profession of faith and was baptized last week in our church, and a lot of the teachers were coming down from Pella Christian and he had been trying to downplay it. And everyone was making such a big deal out of it. I said, Tony, it is a big deal. And he said, no, it's just a lost boy who found a home with Jesus. I love that line. It's just a lost boy who found a home with Jesus. You see, when he was living in China, he had absolutely no idea about God or anything about God, but he kept thinking, there has to be something more. There's got to be something more to this world than just living and trying to make a living, getting around along with those around you and dying. There has to be something more. This scientific kid was thinking, there's got to be more to this world than that. And he was searching. In China, they have what it's called desk mates. They have like 60 or 70 kids to a classroom, and the children are paired up, the students are paired up, two to a desk. And they become very close to their desk mates because they all come from one-child families, and so that desk mate is sort of like their sibling, like their brother or sister. And so Tony asked his desk mate one time because they had studied comparative religions. In China, they do study comparative religions. And he asked his deskmate, have you ever seen a copy of the Bible? His deskmate said, yes, my grandfather has one. But I've never read it. Tony said, could I see it? So he brought it. And Tony read it, cover to cover. And if you think about that, if you start at Genesis and you read through the entire Bible cover to cover, not believing that it's true, he put a lot of time and effort into that. He got finished reading and he gave it back to his desk mate and he said, that's a lot of interesting stories. But that's all it is a lot of interesting stories. It wasn't until he got brought halfway around the world and he could see it in other people's lives and the Spirit of God came on him that he could see it is the truth. It's the truth. There is a God. There's a God who loves us so much he sent his Son to pay for our sins. I've seen the Spirit a lot in my life. And the more I talk to people, the more I find out that they have seen it in their lives as well. Sometimes we don't share well. We keep it all kind of down inside of us because we don't want people to think we're that nutcase. I'm getting used to people thinking I'm that nutcase. I actually don't come up onto a pulpit unless I've spent a lot of time in prayer trying to figure out what God wants me to say. I'm sure there's some who would find that very difficult to believe. So I want to share with you just a couple of stories this morning. I've had a license to exhort now for 10 years. I find that hard to believe that I've been doing this for 10 years. And back 10 years ago, I just started to lead worship services, and I had to go into what I saw as a very, very traditional church. And I could hear the Spirit of God telling me, I want you to tell this congregation to dance to the Lord. Go to the passage of David where he dances before the Lord and Michael despises him for it. And tell these people, celebrate, dance before me because of all that I have done for you. And I didn't want to. Boy, did I not want to. Because I did not think that it would be very well received. So I'm in this church. And they have the nice chair up behind the pulpit yet where the leader of the service sits. And I'm sitting up there going, oh, you know, God, I'd rather not do this. And it was time for the offering. The organist struck up the song, Lord of the Dance. I said, okay, God, I can do this. 5 years ago, I was up in Northwest Iowa, Northwestern College. One of the boys on a college trip. And there was a young girl there who was on the admissions staff. And I asked her where she was from, and she told me that she was from that church. And I said, oh, I got this story I got to tell you. I said, I had to go into that church right after I started filling pulpits and give a message on dance to the Lord, and I did not want to do it. I really did not want to do it until the organist struck up that song, Lord of the Dance. And I said, I know that song has some issues with where it originally came from and other things, but all of a sudden, I knew I could do it. And she said, I remember that. Wow. 5 years later, and this 22-year-old girl remembers that church service, and she said, I remember that. My dad was that organist. He didn't want to play Lord of the Dance either. He didn't want to play it so much, he was talking about it with his family, going, what do I do here? I think I should play it. I don't want to play it. And she said, I said to him, Dad, just do it. See, I was able to see behind the scenes. I thought I was the only one struggling, but God was working to tell an entire congregation, hey, lighten up, celebrate, enjoy life with me, dance before the Lord. Right after I led that service, a couple weeks later, I was supposed to be in my own home church. And I thought, well, that went well. I'll just do the same message again. And I'm sitting at my desk and I can hear God say, put it in the drawer. So I did. It takes about 15 hours for me to get ready for a service. And I'm like, yeah, 15, 2 weeks. And I get, I put it in the drawer. That was in July. December. I can tell you exactly where I was standing. I can tell you exactly where I was standing when I heard God say, the next time you're in First Church, you give the message, dance to the Lord. And I thought to myself, oh, January 29 is when it's next on my calendar. I'm way ahead of schedule. And I heard God say, no, it's January 1st. And I laughed. There I was standing. I could tell you exactly where I was standing, laughing, going, I'm not on the pulpit in First CRC Oskaloosa, January 1. December 30, 7 a.m., phone rings. Elder in charge of pulpit supply for First CRC. Royce, we have a problem. The man who's to lead the New Year's Day service has laryngitis. He told me to call you. Do you think you could get a message ready in 2 days? Yeah, I think so. It's been 5 months. I think we're good. I don't know how many of you feel and know the Spirit is living in your lives, because I'm sure I'm not a special person, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who sees God leading my life. Tony was in tears at our table a couple weeks ago, because he's struggling. He's really struggling. And he said to me, you seem to know what God wants you to do and where God wants you to go. I don't have any clue. I said to him, do you ever wish that God would just write it in the clouds? Oh, every day, he said. I said, we all wish that. We don't see clearly now. I said, but God brought you halfway around the world so you could get to know him. Do you really think he's not going to tell you what you need to do with the rest of your life if you just ask him and listen? How many other people can say God cared enough about them that they brought him halfway around the world so they could hear the gospel? I said, Tony, I expect great things from you. But you see, it's not just him. We should expect great things from the person sitting beside you, and you, and you. You should expect great things from everyone in this sanctuary if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Because we have all been given a job to do, and we don't have to rely upon ourselves to do it. We've got God in us. We have God in us. Can you imagine that? God living in you. Paul says that. Don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And I know when he says that, he's talking about don't live immorally. But still, we have God living in us. And I find it's a great freedom to be able to say, okay, God, you are here. You take care of it, because I don't have a clue what to do. And I'm sure that that's what your search committee has been doing as they look for a new man to fill this pulpit, is saying, God, lead us, guide us, because we can't see the future. But you can. Sharon and I thought we were finished being host parents at Pella Christian High. Then we got an email 2 weeks ago that said, we have a girl that we're looking for a home for. Would you be willing to take her in? You know, we were figuring out the other day, I think we'd had 18 foster kids through our home over the years. They've all been boys. We've raised 3 sons. Tony was also a boy. And I'm thinking, a girl? I have no clue. And we were thinking we were going to get a bit of a break. We also were looking at a real estate deal at the time and didn't quite know what to do about that. And I said to Sharon, I said, you know what? Let's just say yes to both deals. Get on our knees and pray, God, you know what? You take care of it. If you want us to have the international student, fine, bring her. If it's your will, it'll be right. If you want the real estate deal to go through, fine. If not, don't let it happen. We got an email from Pella Christian a week later saying we found another home for the girl. I wonder sometimes, you know, was God just checking? Was he just checking and just to find out, would you change your life to do something for me? And when we said, whatever you want, God said, okay, I was just checking. You know, we read these Old Testament Bible stories, and sometimes we don't realize that they're all pointing forward. And I know there's this story of Abraham having to sacrifice Isaac, and it refers to the father sacrificing his son. God sacrificed his son. Abraham didn't have to, but still he was asked to do something he didn't want to do, and God blessed him after he said, yeah, I'll do it. You're more important to me than my son. I think sometimes God checks. Am I the most important thing in your life? You got to be ready to say, yeah, even when it's not easy. Oh, and the real estate deal, yeah, that's going through. I can rest easy on that one because I know, hey, if God says it's okay, it's okay. And you know, when I share stories like this, some people kind of frown on me and they say, you know, you're not using the talents and the abilities that God has given you because you should sit down and you should run the numbers and you should figure out whether you have the time to take care of another student living in your home and you should think it through because God has given us the ability to think. I used to think that way. I don't so much anymore. Because I know that I serve a God who is so much greater and so much wiser than what I am. There is no way I could ever know better or figure out better what should happen than what he does. And we have this amazing ability to tap into the power of God because we have the Spirit of God living in us. The Spirit of God has been in God's people since that Pentecost Sunday a couple thousand years ago. When the fire of God showed up. You know, those Old Testament Jews knew that God was represented by fire. I like to read through the Old Testament and see all the times God shows up as fire. And one of my favorite ones is when Elijah is sitting up on that mountainside after he's told off a king of Israel, and the king sends his captain with his 50 men to go and get Elijah, and the captain's 50 men show up at the hill, and the captain cries out, "Man of God, the king says to come down." Elijah says, "If I am a man of God, may fire fall from heaven and devour you and your 50 men." And it did. So the king sends another 50 men. He was a slow learner. And the captain's 50 men come to the mountain again, and they say, "Oh, man of God, the king says to come down." And Elijah says, "If I am a man of God, may fire fall from heaven and devour you." And it did. The king must have had a lot of men because he sends another 50. This captain was smarter, though. He got to the hill and he fell down on his knees and he said, "Oh, man of God, have mercy on my life and the life of these men." That's why those tongues of fire were there on Pentecost Sunday. God was saying, "I'm giving you power. I'm giving you the ability to go out into the world. I'm giving you part of myself." God showed up at fire, in fire, at the time of Abraham when there was the covenant sacrifice, and God said, I'm making a sacrifice here. You're the one who's supposed to walk through. They took a cow, and they took a sheep, and they took a ram, they took a goat. They cut them in half, and they put them on each side of a ravine, and the blood ran down into the middle. That's what the Canaanites did when they made a covenant. They made a promise. And the lesser party made a promise to the greater party and always walked through the blood and said, if I break this covenant, cut me in half and walk through my blood like I just did these animals. But when Abraham did it, God walked through the blood in the form of a fire pot and a flaming torch. God comes to see Moses and his bush that burns and is on fire, but it doesn't burn up. God showed up as fire in the Old Testament, and all of a sudden, here the apostles are on the day of Pentecost, and what shows up? Fire. And they knew God was there. And then you have the wind, the sound of the mighty rushing wind. The Jews knew what that meant as well, because that goes clear back to the creation account. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You see, when you read that, the Hebrew word for wind and for spirit is exactly the same word. Waruah. Waruah Elohim. Spirit of God or wind of God. And you know, when God comes to walk with Adam and Eve in the evening of the day, in the cool of the evening, it says, what it actually says is in the wind of the evening, and you have that same word once again, la ruah. So these apostles were pre-programmed to know when they heard that sound of the wind, wind and spirit were the same thing. The Spirit of God had come. You remember when Elijah went up to heaven, what happened? When I read that as a kid, I always thought Elijah rode up to heaven in those chariots and horsemen of fire, that somehow or another they grabbed him, pulled him into the chariot of fire, and that's how he rode up to heaven. But that's not the way the Bible reads at all, is it? It says the chariots and horsemen of fire separated Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah went up to heaven on the whirlruah, whirlwind. World spirit. So 2,000 years ago, tongues of fire and wind show up on a Sunday morning. Is that fire? And is that wind in your life today? You know, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We have the Spirit of God living in us. Can those around you see it? Are you using it? Are you letting God flow through you? You know what I would really love 100 years from now? It's Memorial Day. We went through the cemetery with my in-laws. we visit the grave of my wife's sister, my dad, their parents. We walk through the small graveyard at Lighton. Remember all of the people that we knew and know that are buried there. What would be really great, 100 years from now, well, we better make it less than that. We better make it 20 years from now. Well, no, let's not do that. 30 years from now. Yeah, we can go with that. 30 years from now, people walking through the cemetery and they come across a headstone with my name on it. And they say, I remember him. You could see the Spirit of God in him. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if that was true for each one of us? I remember them. You could see the Spirit of God living in them. But for that to be reality, we got to live it now. Are you willing to do that? Brad will lead us in prayer.
Thanks, Royce. We have the opportunity to go to our God in prayer at this time. God that only hears our, not only hears our prayers, but answers our prayers. I'd like to start off and just read a few verses from Psalm 136 as we prepare to go to God in prayer. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread us out, who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow at your feet today during this worship time. Thank you that we can worship at your house today. Lord, we know that you are the provider of all good things. We ask for forgiveness for our sins today. You have blessed us with living in a free country where we can worship you without persecution. We think of Christians living in Liberia, the Middle East, and other parts of the world that have been displaced from their homes and families, persecuted and tortured simply for following you. Heavenly Father, we pray for our church here in West Des Moines. Each member of this congregation was created special by you as our Creator. We rejoice with you in this graduation season as we see these gifts used to honor you. Be with each graduate and bring them closer to you in whatever chapter of life they are in. Be with the search committee as they seek your guidance for a new pastor to lead this flock. Thank you for the strong pastoral candidates that you have brought to us. Give us your discernment as we look to you for guidance on who you have chosen to lead the flock at Crossroads. We also come today with many needs, hurts, and pains. Lord, only you know the trials that each one of us face. Help us to focus on you and the grace and mercy you provide. We ask for a rich measure of your grace on our family here at Crossroads Fellowship. We ask for safety and support for our servicemen and women and their families as they serve our country around the world. We think especially of Charlie Vryhoff and his continued military service. They make tremendous commitments to serve, which we thank you for. This Memorial Day weekend, we honor those that have died in military service defending this country. They made the ultimate sacrifice for this country. This is also a time where we remember our loved ones that have passed on. Lord, we ask for your comfort and peace for those that mourn the loss of loved ones. We pray like Royce that when someone looks at our tombstone 30 years from now, that they'll see someone that that led a life that was pleasing to you and was very Spirit-filled. Our prayers go out to the sick within our congregation. We think of Eileen, Gary Rutman, Joy, and LaVon in their struggles with cancer. For Sonny and Catherine that are shut in, thanks for the continued healing for Drew Geyser. Give him the perseverance he needs as he regains additional walking skills. As you remind us in Psalm 18, you are our rock, fortress, and deliverer. You are our stronghold and the horn of our salvation. We thank you for successful surgery for Rita Ingalls. Be with Mike Vanderwalde as he seeks medical assistance. We ask that a successful diagnosis will occur and he will have freedom from the pain he is experiencing. Forgive us when we take our good health and medical access for granted. Dear Lord, we praise you for the new additions to the Crossroads family in the birth of Barrett Harskamp. Thank you for the blessing this family is to our church and that they have another healthy boy. You also answered prayers with the healthy delivery of Diana McFarland's grandson, John Michael. The birth of a new baby is a true miracle. Be with those that are looking for work or underemployed. We thank you that Nancy has found a job. We ask that you will provide additional opportunities so that she can use more of the talents you have given her. We pray for our missionaries domestically and in international locations. We want your light to shine bright in this dark world. It is wonderful to hear your gospel being spread in places like Ames, Iowa City, North Platte, Mexico, West Africa, and India. Lord, be with the churches in this community. We need the body of believers in our schools, churches, and businesses in the Des Moines area. Give us love and harmony as we cooperate to share your word and minister to those in need. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you hear our prayers today and lead us in your ways. All this we ask in your Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before we pick up our offering for the Christian education, I would like to ask a favor of you today. Today is my wife's 50th birthday. And she was diagnosed with cancer 18 years ago. There have been a lot of prayers said on her behalf because, to be brutally honest, she wasn't supposed to be here anymore, according to the doctors 18 years ago. But she's here, alive, not here because she's off running PowerPoint in another church. We don't seem to get to worship together very often. But my request for you is if at some time today you would say a prayer of thanks to God, because it is only by the hand of God that I still have my wife. It has been truly a miracle. And oftentimes we ask for things and we forget to say thank you. So if you would do that for me today at some time, is say thank you. It would be much appreciated. Our offering.
guess I'm the first one back to the mic. Just want to remind you of next Sunday, we have an opportunity to give an offering for building a Liberian church, our church in Liberia. Joseph and Rachel Zarway are very involved in this church, and they've encouraged us as a church to collect the funds to build a church there. The amazing thing to me is that it only costs $5,000 to build a church in Liberia. This is a country that's been war-torn with civil wars. They've just experienced the Ebola virus outbreak that's now in remission, thankfully. So next week we have the opportunity to give, and so I just ask you to give as the Lord has so richly blessed all of us. Next Sunday.
Just a couple things from the Connections Committee. Reminder, tomorrow morning is Memorial Day breakfast, 9 o'clock. We are going to still have it out at Cherry Glen Campground, rain or shine. We'll have breakfast, drinks, milk, coffee, tableware, everything provided, a free will donation, and the Siemens are providing the breakfast. And then it's not in the upcoming events yet, but we are planning another ice cream social for the church softball team. Their last regular season games are next Monday, July or June 1st. The games are at 8:15 and 9:15. We're going to do the ice cream social before at 7:30. So we'll have ice cream and toppings and everything, and then you can stay and cheer on the team. Thanks.
Please rise. People of God, as you go out from this place, go out to let the Spirit of God flow out of you like a living river. Amen.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in deepest sin. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you. Give my life to them. Whom shall I?